You know, I've been doing an informal study on musicians, singers in particular. And the premise I've come up with is you sing better without a mustache. Sorry, pal. Had to do it. We have been talking for weeks, about trying to do the will of God. And how that it really is our task as disciples. And of course, one of the great, great mysteries that we contemplate or should contemplate periodically is how does God bring about his divine will? We know that, you know, plan A didn't go over so well in the garden. That God had a plan. He wanted us to be happy. He gave us a world that he created for us with all kinds of variety and mystery and beauty. And he told us that it was all ours if we would just, you know, avoid one particular pitfall. And of course, that's the first thing we run to when we're told not to. And their desire to be in charge, their desire to redefine what God had already defined, kind of put us in a pickle. And ever since then, you know, God has been trying to get us back into the garden, but we are very resistant. We still think that we know more than God, that our definitions are more accurate than God's, and that we're the ones that are in charge when in fact we're really not. And it takes a lot to get it through our heads that we're not in charge, that God is. And so plan A in an ideal world would be that God's people would do what God told them to do. But sadly, as I just said, we don't seem to do that. We don't get it. And so then we got to go to plan B, or maybe in our case, plan Z, where God takes our choices and tries to reconfigure so that he can get his desired results. So just when you think of, which we seldom read, but Christmas time when the genealogy of Jesus comes up, if you listen to some of those names, they're not exactly some of the spectacular people in our history. As a matter of fact, a number of them are great scoundrels. But God has a way of taking something bad and turning it to the good, not for the sake of the bad people, but for the sake of the good people, for his own promise that he made to those who remain faithful to him. I will be your God, you will be my people. And so contemplating this mystery of our free will and God trying to bring about a particular divine plan is a complicated and mysterious issue, which we should think about oftentimes. So look at our readings today that help us discern what's going on, maybe even in our own current world today. Cyrus is not a follower of God. Cyrus the Great is the king of Syria, and he has just taken over Babylon. You know, the Babylonian exile took all of God's people and removed them from their own homeland and resettled them, and that was Babylon's way of breaking down the people, breaking their spirits. Take them out of their culture, put them in a foreign land, and then they can't practice their cultural traditions, in this case, the Jewish faith for the Judeans. So Cyrus is not a good guy as far as religion is concerned. But there is something good about Cyrus in that he has common sense and he's in tune with the natural law in a way that perhaps God's people weren't. So all of a sudden, his way of occupying people is not to take them out of their own setting. Rather, he's a little smarter. He leaves them in their own land, lets them think that they can, you know, continue their cultural stuff, which he doesn't care about as long as he's getting his taxes. So he's very brilliant in the way he is ordering them. And God is using them. That's the point. God is using Cyrus, who doesn't believe in God, twice. Twice in that reading, God says, I chose you, though you don't know me. I'm using you, even though you don't know I exist. Because Cyrus is somehow, mysteriously, responding to something perhaps in the natural law, that people flourish in their own setting, more so than if you take them, uproot them, and divide them all up. So Cyrus is very smooth, and the Lord is smoother yet. And it's good for the Jewish people, because all of a sudden they're allowed to remain in their own land. So while Babylon took them all out of their land, he's putting them back. They're happy. He's got taxes. He's happy. Everyone's happy. Jesus today is being caught in a political trap. Again, you're dealing with the Pharisees, the leader of the people. And as we've contemplated, they're in a privileged place, much like Christians are today. We have been given divine revelation. We know God's will. So the question is why aren't we carrying it out? If we would carry it out, things would be much better. But instead, we've got all kinds of, not just Christians, but in particular Catholics, who espouse everything except what the church teaches. And we're expected now to get God's will out of that rebellious heart and broken mentality. It's almost like we're saying to God, okay, try this one on for size. And we blow it all and sit back and see if God's powerful enough to overcome our stupidity and bring about his will. But as we see with Cyrus, God will use anyone. Anyone, no matter how foolish they are, how crazy they are, if it brings about his will. It would be better if Christians would do it. We've been given the roadmap. God has made known that which was previously unknown. So it's not that we're ignorant. We're not ignorant. Selfish, perhaps. We don't want our own particular life disturbed, which is why God allowed the Babylonian exile to show them that you are not in charge. And just because you've made this particular way of life your life, let me remind you, you're not in charge. It would be easier for the people, for God, for us, if we just did God's will. But if we want to continue to be stubborn and beat our heads against the wall, great. So the trap today with the Pharisees and the Herodians, who incidentally hate each other, they're on opposite ends of the spectrum, and when they're not dealing with Jesus, they're at each other's throat. But here we've got a common enemy, so we'll go after him and pretend we're friends. So the simple test is, do we pay taxes or not? Now, if Jesus says, no, we're children of God. Our feet are in heaven. That's our citizenship, not here. Then they're going to go and tell the Romans, you've got this guy on your hands who's teaching people not to pay taxes. And of course, the Romans are going to come in and put an end to that. If he says, pay the taxes, then, well, really, he's supporting the Romans, isn't he? I mean, he's paying into the system, so clearly he agrees with their occupation of the chosen people. So it's a lose-lose situation. But Jesus is so clever. I know it's hard for you to believe. He is clever. Every once in a while, he gets it right. He just walks right through the middle there, and he sees what they're trying to do. It said their malice. And then he, as he always does, so delicately and gingerly, talks to the people, you know, petting them and giving them a little blanket and saying, all right, are you comfortable now? Because I want to tell you something. You're misinformed. Not quite. You hypocrites. Try that at your next cocktail party. Oh, you hypocrites. He sees their heart. And instead of dealing with their political agenda, he speaks truth to them. And the truth is what this is what he always does. He always goes back to the origin of things. So, blah, 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 blah. You've heard it said, but what I say to you is what was in the beginning. This is the way God made it. I know what Moses allowed for you because of your hardness of heart. But when God created you, he made you male and female. And for this reason, you leave your father and mother and you cling to one another. That's God's definition. You've recreated, you've redefined, and Moses allowed it because what's he going to do after all? He's just a human. But God, Almighty God, this was his intention. So you can do what you want, but this is God's intention. So just so that we're on the same page, you can do what you want, but know that you are rebelling against God. You're not winning a hearing right now. You're alienating yourselves further from his mercy and compassion the more you dilute yourself with this incorrect thinking. He hits right to the heart. Who are you? When you look in the mirror this morning, whose image did you see? Did you see a political? Oh, there's that. There's the Republican. Yep, there he is right there. There's the Democrat. Did you look in the mirror? When you looked in the mirror, did you see, oh, there's that bachelor, master, doctorate? Is that how you see yourself? Is that how you define yourself? Oh, there's the one who likes vengeance. There he is. Oh, there's the one who has an alternative lifestyle. That's how he sees himself. Or did you see the image of God? Are we content in our culture today with identifying ourselves with superficial parts and pieces? Or do we see the whole, the image and likeness of Almighty God? You are made in that image and likeness. You may be political, but if you put your eggs in that basket, I don't know of one politician that has offered his life for you. Do you? Is there any politician who said, I will die so that you can live? Think of all the other issues I just named. Are any of their poster children going to lay down their life for you? All you hear is my rights, mine, mine, my, I want, me, mine. And yet Jesus says it's all about you. I'll give it all up for you. That's what makes my Father happy, is you finding your way back to that garden. Sheer bliss. No more tears, no more wailing, no more pain, no more anguish, no more being tired or depressed, saddened. You're going to be happy, content, peaceful, fulfilled. That's what God wants. But what do you want? It'll depend on how you see yourself. What's your image? A beloved son or daughter of a heavenly Father who will do anything he can to get you into heaven? Except go against your will. Sometimes in our spiritual history, we do find people who are very faithful. Mary and Joseph. Be it done to me according to your will. It's not about me anymore. I'm the handmaid of the Lord. Joseph, deciding to divorce her quietly. No, Joe, don't worry. I've got your back. You continue with the plan. We've got this together. And look at how that turned out. Versus Adam and Eve. Versus our current culture of me, 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 mine, mine, mine. The Lord has made known to us his will. We're made in the image and likeness of God. And anything that detracts from that, you and I should be fighting against, banishing with all of our energy. God has spoken. Let's ask the Holy Spirit this week to help us as we look in the mirror to see the image of God, the truth, and burst the lie that we've been convinced of from the evil one.